And now, Don Blackwell.
Can you imagine arguing with God? You may think, surely no one would do that. And friends, the Bible says that men will. In fact, it says that many people will argue with God. In Matthew 7:21 through 23, Jesus describes this situation for us. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Can you imagine what's happening here? This is the judgment scene, according to verse 22. And yet there are people who are arguing with the Lord at the day of judgment. I know you find that hard to believe. It is hard to believe. It's amazing, isn't it? It's hard to imagine that anyone would stand in the face of the Lord and argue with Him. But Jesus said that's exactly what will happen. And He said, "There will be many people, many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders?'" But do you know the Lord is still going to pronounce His judgment upon them? You know, I have oftentimes had people who have argued with me about things of a religious nature, things that the Bible is very clear on, and yet they argue. And it surprised me and at times frustrated me. But somehow my surprise lessens when I see that no doubt some of these same people are going to stand and argue with God Himself. Well, who are these individuals going to be who are bold enough to argue with God? First, I'd like you to notice that the Bible teaches that some of these people will be teachers and preachers. Verse 22, they will say to the Lord, "Have we not prophesied in your name?" On the day of judgment, some of those who will be lost will be teachers and preachers. In Acts 5:39, the well-known Pharisee, a doctor of the law named Gamaliel, stood up in the council of the Jews who had decided to slay the apostles, and he made a very wise statement. He said, "Keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." Now, Gamaliel was on the wrong side here, but still he had enough sense to recognize that it's wrong to fight against God. And yet the Lord said, that's exactly what many teachers are going to do. They will argue with God, and even at the judgment. But you know, that should really be no surprise, because they fight against Him now. In reality, they're fighting against Him now by the doctrines that they teach. All over the world, each first day of the week, these men and women step into pulpits, and they fight against God. Now, they'll tell you they don't want to fight, they don't want to debate, they don't want to argue. But that's exactly what they're doing in their teaching and their preaching. They'll tell you that one church is just as good as another, and in so doing, they fight against God. They'll tell you that baptism is not necessary for salvation, and in so doing, they fight against God. They argue with what God's Word plainly teaches. They are deceiving many people in the process. But you know, we shouldn't be surprised, because that's exactly what the Lord said was going to happen. In Matthew 7:15, Jesus warned us, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." In 1 John 3:1, John wrote, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, our context in Matthew 7 is discussing specifically non-Christians. Verse 23 says, these are people that Jesus says, "I never knew you." But you know, there are those who even among the Lord's people have gone the way of the false teacher. Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:29, "For I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also among yourselves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." I want you to notice that the Bible also teaches that some of these people who will argue with God, who will be lost on the day of judgment, will be good people. Verse 22, they said that they were people who had done many wonderful works. The New King James has many wonders. These are people who believed that they were doing good things in the name of God. And so they argue with him when he gives his judgment. And you know, many people in the world today think this way. They think that if a man is a good man, that the Lord will save him. But you know, in Matthew 19, we're told about a good man who was lost. We frequently call him the rich young ruler. This ruler came to Jesus wanting to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus told him, you need to keep the law that you live under. The law at that time was the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. Verse 18, Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20, the young man said, all of these things have I kept from my youth. Now, I believe the man was being honest about that statement. And from that, I conclude he was a good man. But friends, I want you to notice that this man went away from the Lord very sorrowful and lost. But many people will argue with God and say, I just can't accept that. If a man is a good man, an all-loving God will save him. John 3 and 16 says, for God so loved the world, Hebrews 2 and 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. And so people will argue, the Lord's not going to let anyone be lost eternally. But friend, I want to tell you that the love of God alone will not save a man. Hebrews 1 does say that Jesus tasted death for every man, but Hebrews 5:9 says he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In Mark 10 and 21, Mark says about the rich young ruler that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. But despite the love of Jesus, the man still walked away sorrowful and lost. And friends, on the day of judgment, there will be good men who will argue with God, but who will still say, to who he will still say, depart from me, I never knew you. I want you to notice also that the Bible teaches there will be religious people who will be lost. Three times the Lord says, three times they will say, but Lord, we did this in your name, in your name, in your name, they will say. But simply being religious is not going to be enough. The Lord will say, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, many people in the world today teach that all that you have to do to be saved is to call upon the name of the Lord. And they'll cite passages like Romans 10 and 13, where the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they'll teach that that means that all you have to do is call upon the Lord in prayer. But friends, it never has meant that. The Bible never has defined it that way. And on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, the Apostle Peter preached that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But no one there understood him to be teaching salvation by prayer. In fact, in verse 37, they asked him, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, now listen to this, because this is what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Then Peter said unto them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. In Acts 22 and 16, when Ananias instructed Saul what to do to be saved, he said, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Friends, on the day of judgment, there are going to be many religious people who will be lost. And they'll argue with the Lord. Listen, Lord, any church is all right. Lord, there are good people in all of the churches. And you know what? You choose the church of your choice, and it's just as good as any other. Now, that's what they'll say. Friend, will you argue with the Lord that way on that day? There are many people who are going to do it. There's no doubt. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 20, of course, we read in the Bible that we are many members, but one body. In other words, we're following the one system of faith. We're walking in the one body, living in harmony with God's will so that He will save us in that one body. But these people who will argue with God don't believe that. They say that one can be saved outside of the church as well as in the church, and that one body is just as good as another. Of course, Acts 2 and 41 says that they that gladly received His word on the day of Pentecost were baptized, and there were added unto them that same day about 3,000 souls. Now, verse 47, listen to this verse. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Friends, the Bible teaches there's only one body wherein men can be saved. Now, can you imagine being saved outside of the one church that Jesus purchased with His blood? But many people will argue that you can. Many denominationalists argue that a man is saved before baptism. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. The Bible says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But these say, you're saved before you're baptized. Friend, do you suppose that they're arguing with the Lord? And do you suppose that they'll argue with the Lord at the judgment day? Friends, on the day of judgment, there will be religious people, and the Lord said there'll be many of them, who will argue with Him. I want you to notice also that the Bible says that there will be sincere people who will argue with the Lord. When I listen to their cry in verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not? When I hear those words, I have no doubt in my mind that some of these people are very sincere in their beliefs. They are very sincere and very convinced that they are right. And as a Christian, this concerns me, because this is not only a matter of whether I'm right or you're right. This is a matter, and it's not just a matter of personal opinion. Friends, this is a matter of where your soul will spend eternity. And there are those who are sincere, and they're convinced that they are right. But they will stand shocked, surprised, on the day of judgment. And not only do I hear sincerity in their comment, but I also hear great surprise. Lord, Lord. But you know, their surprise won't be because of any fault on the part of God. Jesus clearly said, the word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day. John 12:48. Friend, their surprise won't be due to any fault on the part of the Lord. Now, it might be due to the fault of Christians who haven't been carrying the word as they should, but it won't be God's fault. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friend, what can be done to show people that sincerity alone will not save them? You know, we can go to the Bible and show them that Matthew 7 teaches that some sincere people will stand lost at the judgment, but that doesn't seem to matter to some folks. We can take them to Acts 23:1, where the Apostle Paul said, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. But while he was living in good conscience, he at the same time was persecuting the very church for which Christ died. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. But number five, I want you to notice those who will be lost. I want you to see that all of those who will be lost and who will be arguing with God on that day, notice who these people are. The Bible says that everyone who does not know the Lord will be lost. Listen to verse 23. My Lord said, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, you know, there may be some in the world who don't know the Lord because they've never heard the gospel. And there are people who will teach that they'll be all right. They'll be okay in that situation, that since they were ignorant of the truth, that the Lord will accept them at the judgment. But friends, does the Bible teach that? Does the Bible teach that ignorance will be an excuse with God? In Acts 17:30, the text says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And Luke 12:47, we're told about the servant who knew not the will of his Lord, that he was beaten with few stripes. But the one who did know the will was beaten with many stripes. But I want you to notice, even the man who did not know the will was still beaten. Ignorance was not an excuse. In Romans 10:14, we're told that it's necessary to believe in order to be saved. But then the question is asked, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Ladies and gentlemen, it is necessary to hear the gospel. Ignorance will not be an excuse on that day. The Lord will simply say to them, I never knew you. But then you have people that though they have never become New Testament Christians, they claim to know the Lord. I met with a lady one day who was a member of a denomination who was not a member of the one true church we read about in the Bible. She told me, I know the Lord. She said, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. But upon further study, I found out that she really didn't even know what that statement means. What does it mean to know the Lord? Now, she seemed to have some type of emotional experience in mind. And while there is emotion involved in our relationship with the Lord, that's not what it means to know Him. 1 John 2 and 3 says, And by this we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Luke 6 and 46, Jesus asked, And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Friends, to know the Lord means to obey the Lord. And a man can claim to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and he may say, Lord, Lord, from now until eternity. But if he does not obey the Lord, he doesn't really know Him. And that's why the Lord says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. John 14 and 15, Jesus said it this way, If you love me, keep my commandments. John 15 and 14, You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, we're talking primarily in this context about non-Christians, but you know the same thing could be said for members of the Church of Christ as well. A Christian may claim to be a child of God and claim to love God, but if he doesn't keep his commandments, then he's just fooling himself. Friend, if you died today, would you find yourself in this category of those who would want to argue with God? Or would you be among those who will hear those words, Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Friend, today, if you're not a Christian, you need to know that the Bible teaches in order to become a child of God, a man must hear the gospel. Romans 10 and 14 teaches this. A man, upon hearing it, must also believe it. Jesus said in Mark 16 and 16, He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And in fact, in John 8 and 24, He said, If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Upon hearing the gospel and believing it, a man must repent of his sins. In Acts 2 and 38, Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. A man must hear the gospel. He must believe it. He must repent of his sins. But then he must confess the name of Jesus. Romans 10 and 10 says, With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Acts 8 and 37, the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10 and 32, Jesus said, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father in heaven. Upon hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of one's sins, confessing Christ, a man must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Many people in the world say, Baptism doesn't save a man. But listen to the words of the Bible. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21 tells us, The like figure whereunto baptism does now also save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Once a person has done those things and becomes a member of the Lord's church, he must live faithfully unto death. Revelation 2 and 10, the Lord says this is a condition. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Friend, if you haven't done these things, won't you study your Bible and do these things that the Lord says a man must do to become a Christian?